After his dad's, his grandfather's funeral, a boy was heard to observe, "Dad, we grow up, get old, go grey, and die. That's it." Is that what you're feeling this morning? That's it. But it's not quite. Do you know, Jesus rose from the dead. Out of the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. Do you know, Jesus rose from the dead? Do you know that? Amen. Jesus rose from the dead. And he, the Bible says, he is the first fruits. I wanted to bring you some first fruits of my strawberries this morning, but they're not ready yet. Do you know what first fruits are? First fruits are a promise of what is to come. First fruits is a promise of what is to come. Jesus is the first fruits of each of us who are going to rise from the dead. Jesus is alive, and so will we be. You know, one of the things I'm looking forward to when I get to heaven is when there's that big courtroom and Jesus is sitting on the throne and each person goes up before him, and I'm looking forward to seeing my dad there getting his accolade from Jesus. Other people too. I'm looking forward to the time I'm there, and when my sons and daughters are there, my grandchildren, and there'll be an accolade. Do you know that? There was going to be that great celebration as each of us is presented before Jesus and he looks at our life. And he says, "Hey, well done. Vic, well done." Are you looking forward to that day when Jesus says, "Well done"? He won't even say, "You were a bit of a scallywag." But he will say, "Well done." Are you looking forward to that? Because actually, the whole point of this series that we're looking at is that one day we're going to rise too. Let's just have a look at some of the appearance. Is this thing not working? Oh, it is. I haven't got the little clicker. Can someone bring me the clicker? We're going to look at Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. In the Church Bibles, it's page 1001. But just as a reminder, here are Jesus' early appearances. Do you remember? Jesus died on Good Friday. He died on Good Friday. On Saturday, he was in the tomb, resting. Easter Sunday, he appeared first of all to Mary, and then there's a throwaway comment that he also appeared to Peter. And then he met with Cleopas plus one other as they were walking to Emmaus. And then he appeared to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. And then the following Sunday, he appeared to the disciples, including Thomas. And Paul talked to us about that last week. Do you remember? And after that, he There is this breakfast on the beach. No, this is the one that Paul talked about, the breakfast on the beach. And now we're going to look at this passage from Matthew chapter 28. And it says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Lord Jesus, thank you for all those appearances that you made to the disciples. Thank you for this particular one. As we study it today, speak deeply into our hearts, we pray. Amen. Setting the scene. Our title today is Go. You probably noticed it. There's a little word right in the middle of the passage. Verse 16 says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. We don't know when Jesus had told them to go there, but they turned up. All right? They obeyed. Now listen, Jeff has already spoken a little bit about this morning. They obeyed. They obeyed. They turned up. Do you know, Jesus wants to meet with each of us every day. He wants to meet with us every day. It's not an order, but he says, hey, I'd like to meet with Vic every day. Now, some of you wouldn't like to do that, but Jesus wants to meet with me every day. Do I turn up? He wants to meet with you every day. Do you turn up? I've got a place in my home. I get up in the morning. I make myself a cup of coffee. That's optional. And then I go and sit in that comfortable chair and I open my Bible and I read a bit. I try and meet with Jesus every day. I have that special place because I'm a creature of habit. All right, you might think I'm autistic. Fine. Listen, Jesus loves to meet with us. And I find I do things if I plan them. Things just don't happen in my life. I have to plan them if I want them to happen. Folk, you are missing out if you are not meeting with Jesus every day. I'm not slapping you round the face about it. I am appealing to you. Our lovely, lovely Saviour wants to meet with us. Will you turn up? Some of you do it regularly. Well done. Some of you have stopped doing it. Come on. Start again. Start again. All right? Start tomorrow. And the next day. See how many days you can do this week. Listen, if you failed, that doesn't mean give up. That means press on. Jesus wants to meet with us every day. You will miss out if you don't turn up and talk to him. Youngsters, make it now something that you start to do. It is much more difficult as you get older to establish a new routine, a new practice. I know some of you are thinking, I'm going to go and have my little time with Jesus when Mum wants me to do the washing up. Listen, I'm sure that Mum will bless you if you do that. She will be pleased that you have done that, but actually it would be better to do both the washing up and meeting with Jesus. But I'm sure she won't chide you for meeting with Jesus. Come on, you people in the front row, are you meeting with Jesus every day? Are you? Now's the time to start if you've never started it. Meet with Jesus. They met with Jesus. Wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he? Yes, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are wonderful. It does us good when we meet up with him. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Do you worship him when you see him? Do you worship him? Do you worship him? Come on, do you worship him? Listen, when we see the greatness and beauty and majesty of our great God, if it doesn't draw us to worship, we haven't seen it. He is magnificent. He is truly wonderful. Isn't he? Yes, he is. He's truly wonderful. And we worship. And then it says, some of them doubted. Some of them doubted. Do you know, this was an extraordinarily difficult time for the disciples. Now they saw him, now he'd gone. He turned up and he's gone. He turned up and he's gone again. Listen, they were scratching their heads about this. Jesus was here and then he wasn't. But actually it says later on here that he's going to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Jeff spoke to us again about that this morning, didn't he? Jesus is with us always. It says, when Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Do you know what authority is? I asked Joe last week, I said, when you became a police person, how is it that you got authority? How did it work? How did you learn to stand in the middle of the road and put your hand up and stop the cars? How does it work? I'll tell you how it works. It works by copying. That's what the other policeman did, and he didn't get run over, so I'll go and do it. Yeah? There's no good me going and doing it without a uniform, but if I had a uniform, I could do it. She said, it was because they gave me a warrant card. Do you know, we have someone who gives us authority who's even bigger and better than the chief of police or the Houses of Parliament. He has given authority. It says, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. It's God's gift. Authority is God's gift. Right at the beginning, Adam and Eve were given authority. Have a look in Genesis chapter 1. And he says, be fruitful and multiply. Subdue. I have given you all authority over all the creatures. God gave authority. Dads, God has given you authority. Mums, God has given you authority. Creche leaders, God has given you authority. Those who work with the youngsters in there, radioactive, God has given you authority. And actually, you bless children if you use the authority that has been given to you. You know, youngsters, don't you? You know there are some teachers who don't use their authority. When I was a young teacher, I can remember going with an under-13s rugby team in a coach, and there was the under-15s were in there as well, and this bus driver took a wrong turning and went down a no-through road. And the other member of staff got off the coach and helped the driver reverse round into the road again, into the main road, so that we could go on. During that time, of course, the lads in the coach started whistling and jeering and whatnot. And when this teacher got back onto the coach, he said to me, he said, "Vic, use your authority." I just sat there. I just let them. I learned a lesson that day. He said, "Vic, use your authority." You see, we can abdicate our authority. We can just hope things will turn out all right. Listen, God gives authority. He gives you authority. He gives you authority. And here it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." It's God's gift. And it says, "Therefore." Therefore means I've been given the authority and I'm passing it on to you. Jesus says, "Therefore." Therefore, it means that the authority that God gave to Jesus has now been passed on to us. And we need to learn to use our authority if we are going to help the world. That doesn't mean to say that we've got to learn to be bossy. People don't like authority because they think it means being bossy. Authority, good authority in the classroom, helps. You, as well as these youngsters, know what it's like. One teacher has authority. You know, you don't mess around. We had someone, when I was a youngster at school, his nickname was Thunderguts. You didn't mess with Thunderguts. We had another teacher whose name was Dappy. We did mess with Dappy. It still happens today, doesn't it? Some of your teachers have got authority and they use it. The other teachers have got authority and they don't use it. They don't know how to use it. They've never been taught, perhaps, but they don't use it. Listen, good authority helps us in our daily lives. Good authority helps parents. Good authority isn't, "Do that or I'll whack you. I'll kill you." Listen, that isn't good authority. But God has given Jesus authority, and Jesus says, "I am giving you authority," saying to the church, "I am giving you authority," saying to each one of us in the church, "I am giving you authority." And if we read in other places, it says, "Authority to heal the sick, cast out demons." Authority. Listen, I can't heal anyone. But when God gives me something to talk to you about, I can say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." Phil Moore, who leads a church up in Wimbledon, said that he was challenged about that. He used to just preach the gospel, and he was challenged. Someone said, "Come on, you need to heal the sick." And he looked at it, and he looked at it, and he looked at it, and he realized, yes, he was shortchanging people because he didn't put himself out on the line to heal the sick? Do you want to see people sick being healed? Yes, we do, don't we? Right, it's down to you to do it. To put your hand on them and say, be healed in Jesus' name. John Wimber says that he prayed for about 100 people. And then he said, no one seems to be healed. And someone said, well, keep going. I would love it if every time I put my hand on someone and said, be healed in Jesus' name, they were instantly healed. It hasn't happened yet. I hope it will happen one day. I have a feeling that it might not. But I'm going to risk it. Hey, are you going to risk it? That same man, John Wimber, said, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Folk, do we want to see the world change? It's passed on to each of us. Authority, let's use it. In what ways? Well, the first thing I say there is ask God. What ways has he given you authority? In what ways? But he's given us authority to shine in the workplace, hasn't he? Do you know what Jesus said? He said, let your... Got it here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and give glory to your Father in heaven. When you do your work well, you not only please God because he's watching, but it pleases your boss. God wants us to use authority in our praying. He wants us to use authority in our praying. Understanding, actually, we have got authority. It's been delegated to us. Let's stop being victims and start becoming victors. Let's stop being victims and become victors. Good one, eh? Let's take authority when we tell people. Yeah? Sometimes we are so apologetic, aren't you? I'm like that too. Apologetic in telling people. Tell people what's right. Sometimes they'll get offended. It's okay. But let's not apologize for the gospel. Let's not apologize. The gospel isn't to be apologized for. The gospel is true. Magnificently true. In everything that we do, let's use authority. Let's just sort of, oh, well, might be, maybe. Let's do it in our giving. Yeah? Let's do it in our giving. Use authority in our giving. Let's do it in our going, because this passage is really about going. It says, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And I've got there, get on your knees and go. And some of you thinking, how can you get on your knees and go? You need to do both. You need to get on your knees and you need to go. Do you know, I don't know whether it applies to someone here, but I have a sense that someone God has put in your heart, in your mind, something about Peru. If it's you, I'd like to hear from you. You don't have to tell me. I'm just interested. But actually, I believe God is going to send someone from this church to Peru. Maybe not this year, maybe not next, maybe in 5 years' time. You've heard him. He's whispered to you something about, there's something about Peru in your thinking. You keep thinking, oh, I wonder what it, yeah. Some of you used to go, but you've given up. Ah, it's hard work, you've got distracted, there are other things. Come on, today is the time to start going again. Start going. And you're thinking, what on earth is this about? Listen, one of the ways in which we can go is by talking to people about Alpha. Alpha's been an extraordinary tool for us in this church. Other churches use other courses. Great. We use Alpha. It has been an extraordinary good tool for us. We've got a new Alpha course starting in September. Have you got a friend, a neighbour, some associate, a family member? And they need to hear about Jesus. Do you know, it's lovely when people come along and they start to learn about Jesus. Here we are. Look at that. Go. Minister, clothe the widows, visit prisoners, give hope, welcome visitors, free the oppressed, feed the hungry, visit the sick. Heaps of things there, aren't there? I guess you'd like a copy of that, wouldn't you? And you'd be able to colour in the bit that you're good at. Give you a challenge. Colour in the bit that God's saying, hey, I want you to get involved in that. Because God wants us to keep going. Go some more. There'll be something to talk about this week. What am I going at? Where could I be going? Go. Alpha. Come on. Let's make sure that there are heaps of folk this year on Alpha who do not know about Jesus. Or just have a small inkling about Jesus. This week we had a friend come round to us because they were in trouble. Listen, do people know where to go when they're in trouble? Do they know where to go when they're in trouble? Is your home available to people when they are in trouble? Do you know you can help them when they are in trouble? Let's pray for Alpha. Pray for Paul as he leads Alpha. And then we've got this thing, I am with you always. What a wonderful God. He says, I want you to do this And by the way, I'm with you always. I'm with you all the time. Isn't that lovely? The disciples, they saw Jesus and then he disappeared. They saw him and they disappeared. Is that the sort of Jesus we want? No, we don't. He says, I am with you all the time. Isn't that lovely? God is with me all the time. When I'm being a scallywag and when I'm not being a scallywag. God is with me all the time. All the time. God is with you all the time. Do you know that? Some of you sort of think Sundays or cell group meetings or, hey, no, God is with us all the time. He's with me when I'm on the allotment. He's with me when I'm down at Thames Court. He's with me all the time. He's with you all the time. Make the most of it. So I want to leave you with these challenges. I want to leave you with these challenges. First challenge is, hey, do you meet with him every day? If not, start tomorrow. There's a challenge here. If you're not a regular meeter with Jesus, say to someone, before you leave today, will you check on me next Sunday about how often I've met with Jesus? Because that will spur you a little bit. The Bible talks about spurring one another on to good deeds. Do you know what spurs are? They're those things on the back of the boots that the cowboys wear that they dig into the side of the horse to spur the horse on. Yeah? They're also those things on cockerels, if you know anything about cockfights. That's a distractor, though. Spur one another on. So if, first of all, if you're not a regular meeter with Jesus, start tomorrow. You will find the benefit of that. The second thing is, use your authority. Just think of that young teacher who was told by that older teacher, Vic, use your authority. Listen, use your authority. God has given you authority. That's not to make you collapse. He's given you authority. To heal the sick, cast out demons, to tell people about him. And the other thing is, do you know that God is with you all the time? Folk, let's live like that. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this scripture. Lord Jesus, we pray about those things that you would have us embrace from this morning's sermon. Lord, we pray, give us boldness to get involved with the things that you have specially earmarked for each one of us. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for that lovely promise that you are with us always, even to the end of time. Amen.